Yes, I am going to be sharing. I'm kind of pinch hitting for this morning for yours and mine truly, Pastor Chris Sauter, who got himself a head injury a couple days ago. He got a concussion playing racquetball with his good buddy Weaver. And yeah, I know, boys will be boys, right? Everyone's like, oh, well, that sounds like Chris and Weaver. But anyway, I am happy to share with you. And I guess Chris went to the doctor about 3 days ago, and he wasn't himself, and he couldn't think straight, he couldn't remember things, and you know, so the doctor actually wrote him a note. Believe it or not, this is a real true story, to bring back to us to say he could not study, he could not read, he could not learn anything new, and he could not preach this weekend. So I kind of think that this might be an improvement. He might be better after the concussion. And so we'll wait and see what the results are after he's completely well again. But anyway, it's I figure if I'm going to preach for you, dude, I am certainly going to tease you about your head injury that you got a few days ago. So hey, we've been doing a series of messages called Meeting Jesus for the First Time Again. And so we're taking a look at some of the ways that we've missed Jesus, or maybe we've not fully understood him or who he is. And we're doing that by looking through the book of John, the Gospel of John. And one of the things that we believe wholeheartedly is that God has invited us as his people, as a community, to really partner with him, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, you know, he always participated with the Father. And so we're here to carry on, to keep doing and to keep saying all the same things that Jesus did until he comes. And also to become transformed into people who start to look more and more like Jesus, into people who actually reflect who God is to the community around us. But sometimes we miss out on getting there. We miss out on receiving maybe our own healing from God, or maybe we miss out on seeing other people experience healing from God. And so today I'm going to look at John 5 and this story of Jesus doing this crazy miracle in a man's life. And we're going to turn to John chapter 5 and pick up this story and read that. But before we do, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, I think of just all the things that are happening in the world around us, and there's crazy things going on all over the world. We know that you're busy. And yet, I firmly believe that you're here with us this morning. You're right here in the midst of us. And that you love it that we're gathering. You love it that we're worshiping, that we're looking at your word. And so, God, I ask that while we sit in your presence, that you would teach us. You'd teach us what you want us to see, that you'd put power on this talk, that you'd teach us how to not miss out on all the things that you want to do in us and the people around us. And God, would you do a new thing in us? Would you do a new thing in us today? And would the truth come and would it set us free? In Christ's name, amen. All right, there's some Bibles in the chairs, but I'm also going to put the passage up today on the projector. And I'm going to read this story from John 5, and it's kind of long, so I'm going to break it into a few sections, and we'll stop and talk a little bit in between. So we're going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One man was there and had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. We're going to stop right there for a few minutes. So oftentimes, we tend to miss out on what the Father is up to. And there's lots of different reasons, and we're just going to look at some of those. Sometimes we miss out because we actually hear a story like this in the Bible, and we just think in general, many of us maybe even come from backgrounds where we just think, oh, Bible schmeibel, you know, the Bible's like irrelevant. But what we believe instead is the Bible is like this lens, and it gives us this lens of how to look back at history and how to look at the present and the world around us and how even to approach life and live our own lives. And for a lot of years, this story in John 5 was assumed to be some kind of a legend or maybe a fable because this place had never been found. And there was question about whether or not it even existed. But in 1940, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, and they'd been hidden for probably 2,000 years about. And in those scrolls, in those ancient documents, there was found this story of a specific pool, and it's called by exactly the same name. And so then not long after that, archaeologists started to try to find it. And in fact, they located it, they dug it up. And this particular pool of Bethesda was a real place found in ancient history and archives, and it's still you can still visit it in Jerusalem today. And so, you know, over the years, there's more and more findings like this that prove that the Bible is not just this book of, you know, Aesop's fables or moral stories that didn't ever really happen, but the Bible is, like, really firmly rooted in history. It's real history, and the stories that we read in the Bible are true. And so what that means for us is that they really did happen, which changes things today. We can rely on, we can depend on the Bible. And that means we can look at a story like this today and we can find some meaning in it for us. We can find some, put some wheels on it and find some application in what it means for us today. Sometimes we miss out because we give up too soon. And the legend had it that this pool had some kind of healing properties, and so people believed that the water would occasionally be stirred by an angel. So when they saw the water move, then they, if you were the first person to get into the pool, you would be healed. And in verse 5, it says that this man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And one of the big reasons why we miss the activity of God is because we get tired of waiting for it. And we believe it will never come. And we don't see what we're asking God for, and we just think, well, you know what? If God really wanted to do this, he could have, or he would have, and he would have already done it. And so we give up. We give up too soon because we decide that, you know, it's just never going to happen. And there's this unending kind of mystery in the activity of God, which it becomes a tension for us, particularly in our day, because, you know, we're able to get things so instantly and, you know, so quickly that we don't wait very well. We don't know why this particular man had to wait for 38 years, you know, but he did. 38 years, and then his day came. And you know, I don't get, and you don't get, we don't understand why God waits. And honestly, when it comes to waiting on anything, pretty much, you know, I'll tell you what my resolve is. I kind of consider that pretty bad customer service, right? I grew up in a business, and, you know, my dad taught me that. I was taught that, my family business. And so, you know, we think, well, God must not think that I really deserve to have this healed. Because he's God, and the truth is, yeah, we don't deserve it, but that's not why he heals us. And so this idea of giving up too soon, it causes us to miss out on God's healing miracles. Because, you know, when an answer or prayer is delayed, or if we have to wait for it, then, you know, the first thing we think is the answer is no, or we're denied, you know, the answer to that prayer. And we kind of, you know, think God's not giving us good customer service. And so sometimes we just get tired of waiting and we give up too soon. Sometimes we miss out because we get bitter And sometimes that comes from waiting. But, you know, do you know that for anybody who's suffered, you know this, but when you're the one that's suffering, it just seems that somehow time just like kind of hangs and it feels like an eternity, right? And pain just seems to make things go in really slow motion. Like the minutes can't go fast enough. The hours can't go fast enough. And, you know, in the middle of years, maybe months or years of suffering, you start to feel alone. Even if you have lots of people in your life, you know, they're not sitting there with you when both legs are propped up on pillows and you're icing your knees, you know, from bursitis. They're somewhere, you know, they're doing their job or whatever they do. And so you just, really quickly, as things draw out, you just start to feel alone and you start to feel isolated. And generally what happens then is we start to feel depressed. And depression just kind of sets in. Because almost all chronic pain, most anyone will tell you, eventually kind of leads to depression. And we get trapped in it. And we get very bitter sometimes toward the people around us. And especially towards people who are not suffering. Oh, yeah, right. Well, you're having a good time, aren't you? You know? Wish I could go for a coffee with my friends. Or wish I could go skiing or... But we become bitter, and we become bitter about our circumstances, we become bitter toward people who aren't suffering, and then it generally goes right straight to God, and we get bitter towards God. I had an incident this past August and September where I was traveling, and I ended up injuring a knee, and then bursitis set in, and I ended up having to like come home on this international flight, you know, that took 24 hours in a wheelchair. And it was the most miserable thing I've experienced in years. And anyway, I get home and, you know, I go to the doctor and I'm really sick. I have some infection internally that's causing inflammation that causes more bursitis. And so I'm just totally laid up. I'm on crutches. I was in a wheelchair for 2 weeks. And I'm on crutches and I'm waiting for God to heal me. In fact, I'm praying, getting prayer pretty much every single day from people in this church that really care about me and are coming to minister to me. And, you know, 2 weeks goes by, 3 weeks goes by, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, I'm on crutches. 9 weeks. And, you know, I about went crazy insane. And here I am, your pastor, you know, sitting in my house, no choice but to come face to face with Jesus. You can't even watch TV for 9 weeks because it's such bad TV. But, you know, you're sitting there, you have no choice, nothing to do but to read, you know, some books and read the Bible and come face to face with Jesus, and you're just like praying your guts out, and you're like, okay, God, I'm going to suffer well, and, you know, and I don't know why you're not healing me, but if you're not healing me, then, you know, please pour out your grace for me today so that I can learn to suffer well, and, you know, I'm gonna have a good attitude. And, you know, in the middle of all of this praying, here come the thoughts. You know what, God must be disciplining me because I'm not doing all the things he wants me to do. Or God must not really care about my, why should he, my bursitis, just bursitis. People have worse things, Brenda, right? And so, you know, here you are like in the middle of this, you're trying so hard just to pray through it. But even though I knew it wasn't right, I start having these thoughts. These lies, these things that the enemy comes because, you know, hurt, you get angry. And when you don't deal with hurt and anger, when you don't ask God to remove it and take it away, I'll tell you something, it always turns into bitterness and despair if you don't get rid of it. So sometimes we miss out because we get bitter. And sometimes we miss out because we blame everyone around us. In this story, this man said to Jesus, he said, sir, I have, you know, no one to help me into the pool. While I'm trying to get in, someone else gets in ahead of me. I mean, this poor man, he was focused on, you know, the people who didn't help him and the people who were beating him into the water. And this is, you know, it's so true for us today. We tend to look at the people around us, maybe the people who aren't struggling, people who aren't in pain, and we start to blame them. Or, you know, sometimes, especially in emotional pain, or when someone's really sinned against us and we have those kinds of needs for healing and wounding in us, sometimes, you know, we want something so bad that we start to blame others as the reason for why we're not getting it. And, you know, people say things like, well, gosh, if he would just or she would just stop, blah, 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 fill in the blank, right? Then I would be so much better, right? How many of us have, how many of us have not said that? That would be a couple. Or I can't deal with your fill in the blank, you know, whatever it is, anymore. Like, if you would just go away, I would be okay. And when we're not doing well, we want the problem to be out here rather than in here. It's just our flesh. It's our nature. And so blaming kind of blinds us from, like, seeing. It blinds us from seeing our own need to change. And it's always a deflection so that we don't have to be responsible for our situation. And Jesus is inviting us to take responsibility. Like, yeah, that person over there, I'm on it. Besides, they're not even here. They don't care. Let's talk about you and me. Let's take responsibility for how you're going to respond. What does God want you to do in this situation? And take responsibility for our stuff and get to the feet of Jesus so that we don't miss out on the miracle that he wants to do for us. So many times we're just like, is all we're doing is we're trying to get God to exact justice on the other person, you know, because they sinned against us. And we're wrecked. And Jesus is right there saying, let me help you. They don't care. You can't wait for that to be okay anymore. So we miss out sometimes. We miss out sometimes because we completely underestimate the power and the compassion of Jesus. I mean, you think about this. This guy at this pool is blaming people around him. I'm not being healed because all of these other people are beating me to the pool and they're not helping me get there. And here's Jesus, right? He's like making these excuses to Jesus for why he's not getting healed. And he has Jesus standing right in front of him. Jesus standing right in front of him. Right? And he's talking to Jesus about why he's not getting healed because he can't get to some of these other places where he thinks healing is. So we sometimes, you know, translate that. We tend to see Jesus a lot of times kind of like we see each other. Like, do you ever look around you and, you know, even though you might really need prayer, you might really need help in your life in a situation, and you know it, something's been nagging at you, you kind of know, gosh, I'm probably not going to get out of this jam by myself. I need some help here. But you just kind of look around and you go, gosh, well, everyone is so busy. I don't want to bother them. You can't believe the countless people who say, I didn't want to bother you for prayer. I mean, you know, we just sit here and we think, everyone has their own chaotic life to live, right? So, like, why would they be available to help me and hear my problems? I don't want to weigh them down. Besides, I should be able to handle my life, right? And I shouldn't need this much help anyway. And so often we think about each other, and then we consequently project that onto Jesus. And we think, Jesus has got some pretty serious things to deal with. He's kind of busy. Have you seen the news lately? Right? And so we project that onto Jesus. And sometimes Jesus has us in a community of people, and he's standing in front of us in those people. And because we're all so hesitant to somehow buy into the reality or the truth that every single one of us, including me, need community, and that we're not meant to live so independent, so self-sufficient, and so we end up not coming to Jesus either. And the best thing that we can do as a community is just help each other come to Jesus. And so he can meet our need. You know, half the time, we don't help people because we think, oh my gosh, if we open that can of worms, there is no way I can deal with all of this person's problems, right? So I'm not even going to say hi. Well, it's not about you. What if your job is just to get them to Jesus so he can meet their needs? You don't have to live their life with them in codependent way. You just have to get them to the feet of Jesus. Well, we tend to think that God kind of operates on a first-come, first-served basis, don't we? And he's standing there right in front of us. And every one of us, he's ready to do very personal, very specific healing in our lives. I mean, the man in this story, I mean, you figure he's socially isolated. He's emotionally broken, probably suffers from some hygiene problems. And, you know, maybe was even appalling or repulsive to the general public. He's certainly unclean as far as according to Jewish law. And he's a beggar. And there's no one in your world, no one you care about, whether it's you or your family member or a close friend whose life situation is too difficult or too messy for Jesus. For you, yes. For me, yes. For Jesus, I don't think so. In fact, sometimes I really think that the greatest failure of our day is rejecting that Jesus is the one who can actually do something. And, you know, rejecting might seem like a strong word, but I watch folks try to survive, you know, cancer or a loss or a rape or trauma or a marriage that's on the rocks and, you know, without Jesus. And I'm just thinking, my goodness, I mean, they're done. There's no hope. There's no hope. Your goose is pretty much cooked. And Jesus addressed the most difficult issues of his day. And honestly, I have seen Jesus address some of the most difficult issues of our day. I've seen some pretty crazy miracles over the past 25 years. And I saw a young mother who had 3 children, and she was healed of bladder cancer, and she'd been given this nothing but a death sentence of a few months by doctors. I seen a blind man in the healed. He's blind his whole life, laid hands on his eyes in Mexico in a ghetto, and I saw him see and collapse on the ground and weep over the fact that he could see his family for the first time. I've seen ulcers disappear from stomachs and people that were going in to have surgery, and then the tumor wasn't there. I've seen in Uganda, a mission trip that I was on, there was a baby that was abandoned in a dumpster, and a little family that came to the church gathered up the baby. It was lifeless. It was mostly dead, and brought it to the church. And we just lifted it up before the Lord and gathered around it, and the Holy Spirit came and breathed life back into this baby and color, and the baby started to breathe. It was a miracle. That's physical healing. I've seen demons leave. A woman, like right before my eyes, that was totally bound up in suicide and unforgiveness because she found out that her husband had had multiple affairs over the past 15 years. Devastated, non-functional for months, laying in bed, suicidal, and totally set free from demonic influence. I've seen the most broken people come into this community and become whole and functional. And, you know, have jobs and be able to take care of themselves, their family. Because somebody like you and you and you and you, somebody in this community was kind enough and gracious enough to say, let me help you get to the feet of Jesus. Like, I can't solve it all, but Jesus is the one. He's the only one. Like, in your hour of desperation, he can do this. We're just like one beggar helping another beggar to Jesus. And that doesn't take professionals. Sometimes we miss out because we look everywhere but to Jesus Christ for healing. One of the most fascinating things in this story, I think, is that Jesus actually asked this man something. He said, "Do you want to get well?" Why would Jesus ask him that? Do you want to get well? One of the strategies of the devil is to somehow convince us that we're better off as a victim. Like somehow we get trapped in these lies of Satan. We're completely convinced that staying sick is going to serve us somehow. that will have the right to more attention. I don't know what else. I don't get it. I mean, we really, really can get stuck in this place of being a victim and not want to get well. And I got to be honest with you. It's not normal. It's not a normal response. And there's not that much you can do for somebody who insists on staying sick. And so Jesus is asking, you know, he's establishing a pretty good point here. He's saying, do you want to get well? And this man says, yeah, of course I want to be healed. Why do you think I'm laying by this pool all day? But I can't get into the water fast enough. So the Son of God is standing right in front of him, and yet he doesn't recognize who Jesus is. He's having a conversation with him, and he's still hoping that somehow this pool is going to be the source of his healing. And he doesn't seem to know that Jesus Christ is standing right there and that he's the real source of healing. And we look to so many different pools of healing other than Jesus. And some of us want anything to be a healing pool, everything, people, processes, substances, you know, I just need to get rid of this lousy spouse to be healed, or I just need a spouse to be healed, or I just need my parents to forgive me, or I just need my parents to say they're sorry, or I just need a better therapist. I need three therapists. There's something in us that sort of really loves to control or select our healing process. Like, who are we going to let pray for us? How long it should take? Who gets to be a part of the healing process? But that doesn't work. It didn't work for this man, and it doesn't work for us, because Jesus says, do you want to get healed? And are you willing to do anything that Jesus asks you to do? Or are you still calling the shots, even though you're so desperate for healing? Do you really want to decide how you're going to get healed? Or do you want to just give up and let Jesus call the shots? You know, and fall on the mercy of God with your hands up and just surrender and let him pick everything. I think this is really important. I mean, here's the deal. Jesus is not going to help you crawl to the pool that you're trying to get healing from. He's not going to carry you there or make it easy to get to that pool of healing that you think you want to go to. Jesus is standing in front of you. He's the healer himself. What he's going to do is bring the focus to himself. He's going to say, come to me. Come to me. And our focus as we're helping people should be, you know, don't ever try to help somebody and get them dependent on you. How lousy is that? Right? More Brenda? That's helpful for about a week. You know, get out of the way. Like, let's help people get to Jesus and become completely captivated by the healer himself. Because we're really not helping people when we're not doing that. But Jesus doesn't stay in our box. And I'm going to read a little bit more out of this passage, John 5, and we're going to jump in with verse 9. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. So the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Well, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple, and he said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Sometimes we miss out because God doesn't conform to our standards. In this story, these Pharisees start to berate this man for violating the Sabbath regulation. They didn't think that Jesus should work on the Sabbath. They considered this healing work. And so here they are. I mean, this guy, I mean, you got to picture this guy, 38 years lame, is walking for the first time in almost 40 years. And instead of being like absolutely thrilled about the activity of God in his life, the Pharisees totally miss the miracle, totally missed it because it didn't conform to their standards. I mean, they're not the least bit excited that this man has been healed because Jesus doesn't stay in their box. It's very, very common for us to miss what God's doing simply because it doesn't fit into our nice little boxes. And God is just like bigger than our boxes. He's bigger than a Catholic box or a Baptist box or a Lutheran box or a Presbyterian box or a Vineyard box. I mean, God is, he's not in the box. The box is over our head, pretty much, right? Like, he's not going to be in the box. So the box is on your head. It's on my head. I lived like this in, you know, growing up for years. I had a Baptist box on my head that didn't believe that Jesus healed today. And consequently, we missed a lot of miracles. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't doing them. We just missed them. In fact, we took credit for it. We thought it was us. And so God is bigger than the box of scientific rationalism that wants to try to rule out, you know, all of the miracles that God does supernaturally. We miss out sometimes because we believe that Jesus Christ is just not working. He's just not working. I mean, Jesus commanded, I like this part of the story a lot, because Jesus commanded this man to do pretty much the impossible, right? In the natural realm, you know, stand up, roll up your mat and walk, right, Jesus? 38 years, do you notice? I'm kind of lame. You know, if you think about this, you have to notice that I don't know what came into him. I don't know if, you know, where the faith for this came, but he made his first move first. He starts to attempt to move, and the miracle just, like, starts as he's doing it. And just when he's thinking, this is crazy, like, Jesus is asking me to stand up, and I have not been able to do that for the past 38 years. Right? I mean, what is he thinking? What is Jesus thinking? And you know, he starts to somehow, I don't know exactly why, but he starts to, you know, try to move. He attempts to move. And then God's power enters his body. And then he's standing, and healing came, like, right in that moment that he tried to stand. And he finds that his feet are under him, and they're holding his weight. And then he begins to listen more carefully because he's like, wow, this obeying Jesus thing is kind of working. You know, what Jesus? You want me to roll up my mat? You want me to walk? And so he starts to obey more, and he rolls up his mat and he walks. It's crazy. Like, Jesus asked him to do something absolutely impossible, totally off the grid, total craziness. The impossible. And it seems to me that it's his obedience, kind of like backed up by the power of Jesus Christ, that healed him. Like, is that connecting? Did you catch that? Like, what is Jesus asking you to do? Like, what is your obedience so that you can see Jesus do his part? And do you want to be well? Like, are you willing to do absolutely whatever Jesus asks you to do to be healed? Have you ever, like, stood here in church and the Holy Spirit's present and you kind of been feeling for the last few weeks that you're probably supposed to, like, get your butt up there and get prayer after the service and your feet just won't move? Your feet just won't move. Do what Jesus asks you to do so you don't miss out on healing. Listen to this email that I received not too long ago. I just wanted to share a story of healing that has occurred about a month ago at the end of a service there. My four-month-old baby had a blocked tear duct since birth, and every day I continuously had to wipe his eye because of the drainage. And some mornings it was so bad, his eye wouldn't even open. I took him up for prayer, and since that day, his eye has been healed, completely clear. I could really feel God's presence up there, and I'm still praising our awesome God. Had to move her feet. Had to say, Jesus, I'm desperate. It's probably probably already was trying other things. Story after story. Last night, gal came up to me, said, 7 years I've been walking around with this heavy oppression because of sin that's been done against me. I've turned bitter, I'm full of unforgiveness, and I just thought, this is my life. And she's young. She's like, this is my life. For my whole life, I have this definition because this happened to me 7 years ago. I said, no, today's your day. You're going to be healed. She had to respond. She had to do what God told her to do, to move her feet and get some prayer. And we'll continue to help her. We'll go through a little bit more of a long-term healing plan, and there'll be several different women involved and walking her through just the process of healing and forgiveness. But it's started. The day is open. God chose it. She responded. She doesn't have to live like that anymore. Jesus stays in sync with his Father, and he doesn't miss anything. He misses nothing. I'm going to read the last part of this passage, and we're going to jump back in at verse 17. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Who? I lost my place. Sorry. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. God is always at work. Jesus said, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. You will never meet someone who God is not working in their life. And whatever you're praying for, you can take comfort in that fact that God is always working, always. Like if God pulled his hand off of my life, off of your life, our lives would come to a crashing halt and completely collapse. Completely. And you might somehow be still experiencing some pain because you think maybe God just isn't working. Maybe he's too busy. That is just not true. God is always at work. And Jesus said, we can do nothing by ourselves. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. This is an amazing statement. Really precious piece of scripture. Jesus is saying that he, the Son of God, is completely unable to do this work by himself. He's the powerful Son of God, yet this humble servant of God. And again, no one needs more of you or me, or we must continue somehow to just take the focus off of ourselves, get people to the feet of Jesus. We don't want to do this by ourselves. We have the resource. He's standing right in front of us. Let's just help people get to Jesus. And then he says he can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So we can only do what the Father is doing too. And so you don't have to be a hero. Jesus, you don't have to be a professional. You don't even have to be Jesus. Jesus lived this life that was completely and totally dependent on his Father. And I honestly believe that he's showing us in this, in the Bible, over and over and over again, he's showing us exactly what is possible if we would kind of live those lives of total dependence on God, the Father. And so when you look at Jesus, you see God in action. You see God doing this stuff. And when people look at this community, we want them to see God in action, working, wanting, weaving. And then he goes on in verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And, you know, I love this. Because it's not like God is like, well, I don't know if I really need to let you in on what I'm doing. It's just going to take a middleman. Who needs a middleman? Who, you know, it's going to take more time. I'm not today. No. It says he loves to show us what he's doing. And somehow Jesus is drawn to this man, most likely by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There were lots of sick people around the pool, but he felt God's mercy. He felt the Father's mercy. He had this inner sense of seeing him healed. He had this like spiritual consciousness of knowing, you know, when and where and who the Father was about to do something in. And then as all, he just simply obeyed. And he cooperated with what the Father was up to. And we believe that Jesus is inviting us. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. It can be short time, long time. Maybe you're just seeking the claims of Christ. But he's inviting us to partner with God. We don't have to be a hero. We just have to, like, get out there and see what he's already doing. What are you up to? What are we doing today, God? And what are you doing in me? And what are you doing right now around me? Because I don't want to miss it. Why don't you guys stand up with me, if you will? I know that God is going to do some healing today. There's no doubt in my mind. We've already seen that in the past two services. Just as we let down or put down our agenda, this is what he wants. And so we're just going to pray. We always pray at the end of our teaching time, mostly to respond to what God's up to. We don't want to talk about things and not do it. And so I'm going to invite our ministry team, our prayer team. These are people that are just, they've gone here. They're in small groups. They're trained just to hear God and just to pray for whatever God's doing. And God's talking to you. You're hearing God. And so maybe it's just a matter of you moving your feet and coming and just letting somebody pray for you. There's no reason why we have it in the front. We don't have room in the back. And so we're not trying to like point you out or anything. This is just our only place with carpet. It's the nicest place in the church. And so that's why we want to invite you to come and just let some of these folks pray for you before you leave today. I think that you shouldn't walk out the door if you have anything physical going on at all. I say that about emotional too, but we're probably a little bit, it might be easier for us to ask for physical healing. And I know that God is healing people, even just from gathering and worshiping and being in his presence. You know, God started to talk to me and just kind of deposit his thoughts in my mind and my heart in the last couple services. And he said, there's somebody with, you know, there's someone here in the room with gallstones or kidney stones. It's very painful. And you've been struggling with it. You might know what it is. You might not know what it is. But, you know, it's particularly bad at night when you lay down or after you've eaten certain foods. And God said, I'm going to heal. I'm healing them. I think that many of us have been struggling with all kinds of viruses, infections, the doggone Duluth flu bug. And God can heal that, and he will. And he can even boost your immunities and add to your flu shot more immunities. He can heal all kinds of things. It felt like God said he was healing people today that had pain in their knuckles, swelling in their hands or joints. That was something that he's just saying, here's what I'm up to. Here's what I'm doing today. Maybe you're hearing God's, maybe he's dropping his thoughts in your heart, your mind, and he's saying, you know, that person that's been suffering that you haven't prayed for, trust me. I'll move through you, through your simple prayer, and I'll heal them. Maybe they're here, and you could just walk across the room and pray for them. Maybe that you need to go and pray for them today or tomorrow. Father, I ask that you would come and that you would open up the heavens. And God, would you help us with our weak, weak faith in this area? All these reasons why sometimes we miss your miracles. God, we need your help. Some of us, Lord, have been looking to a lot of other places, a lot of other healing pools. And Jesus, you are standing in front of us right now today. Just look in Jesus' eyes, and he's just going to ask you, do you want to be well? And if you want to be well, if you believe that Jesus can heal you, and the answer to that question is yes, I want to be healed, then Jesus is going to heal you. He wants to. Maybe you've been carrying around a particular weight for months or years. You just lost faith for it. You just think, gosh, if God was going to do this, he would have done it by now. Today could be your day. Maybe 38 years. Today could be your day. Come, Lord. Come, God. Help us just to want what you want. Help us to receive your healing grace. There's somebody, I think, in this room that has, I see a heart, but there's a part of your heart that's kind of dark and discolored and black, and it's a heart condition, I think, physical. And you're kind of on the borderline of this causing you a lot of problems on a day-to-day basis, and I feel like the Lord wants to heal your heart today. Any of these things, you can receive healing standing where you are, but we would also love to bless that. Just come up while we're singing this last song and just come up to anyone. You don't have to pick who it is. Just let God pick. Just walk right up, and whoever God brings to you, we'd love to pray for these conditions and any healing that God wants to do. I'm just waiting a minute for... to see if there's other physical things that I feel God's saying he's doing. And in the last service, I felt like he said there was someone with some severe food allergies, and sometimes I get those words and I don't know what service the person's coming to. So if you have some kind of food allergies, another thing I feel like the Lord wants to heal today is some chronic pain, particularly that you've just come under. Is really causing you distress and depression. I really want you to come and let us pray for you before you leave today if you have any kind of chronic pain. Just come, Holy Spirit, and just pour out your healing on us now. We're your people. We stand in your presence. We stand here with Jesus right in front of us. And we want Jesus to be our source of healing. Feel free to stay engaged. It's like heaven's window opens up and God pours out, and we just don't want to try to get out from under it too quickly. We're going to sing. Feel free to come for anything, whether we've said it or not. If you have something and we didn't say it, that doesn't mean God's not doing it. It means I'm human and I don't hear everything right. So please just, I encourage you to press in to what you need healing for today, physical, emotional, or spiritual, or mental. Bless you guys. God go with you, and go out there and be the church. Amen.